Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, what about that video? What if the name Emmanuel means what it means? What if it actually means God with us? You know, we talk all the time about how once you're born again, the Holy Spirit comes to dwell inside of you. But do we really have a revelation of that? Do we really understand that? God with us. We like to think sometimes in that video, you know, it showed aerial shots and one of the world. And, you know, we like to think that God sits on his throne somewhere out there far, far away. But in reality, he is closer to you than anyone else in this world. He's closer to you than your spouse. He's closer to you than your children. He's closer to you than your brother or sister. He is closer to you than anyone in this earth. Just think about that. God, the creator of the universe. Just think how vast the universe is. God, the creator of the universe, is closer to you than anyone else in this natural world. And it all began with a baby. It all began with a baby. You see, before when people wanted to consult or talk to God, they had to go to a priest or get a word from a prophet. But now because of a baby being born, we have God with us. This day was designed by God before the beginning of time. Turn to Ephesians chapter 3. And let's look in verse 8. I'm going to read out of King James. This day was designed by God before the beginning of time. Just think about that. The birth of the Savior of the world was put in motion before even time began. Ephesians 3 verse 8 reads like this. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, this is Paul, is this grace given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. By who? The church. Did y'all get that? Might be made known by us to the world, the manifold wisdom of God. Verse 11, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ, Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access. Whom do we have access to? God the Father. We no longer have to go to a priest. We no longer have to get a word from a prophet. I mean, we can go straight directly to the throne room of the one who created the universe. That's how close he is to us. We can go right up and climb up in his lap and say, Daddy, listen to me. Why? Because of the birth of a baby. The birth of a child would change the world. That's hard to imagine, isn't it? Just think about, okay, you parents that have had children. Just think about that child that you gave birth to. Just think about them completely, radically changing the entire system of the world. Can you imagine that? Radically, completely changing the entire world. Well, that's what this baby did. That's what he did. I said, how can a baby's birth some 2,000 years ago still be relevant today? That's what we're celebrating, right? This season, the birth of a child, the birth of Jesus. How can something that happened over 2,000 years ago still be relevant to today? A child is born and the course of history is changed. And I know we're here to celebrate the birth of Jesus, and we love to sing the songs about the birth of Jesus. We love to have images of this little cutest white baby in a manger. I mean, that seems to be the picture, right? Swaddling clothes, and you know, Mary and Joseph are just sitting there and smiling, and you know, the wise men coming up and sharing their things, and the shepherds coming in, and you know, we get the scene of the shepherds hearing on the hillside there and running down, and we see these images. We get these images in our mind, right? Of all these things happening around this day. And, you know, we come into churches and we talk about the birth of Jesus and, oh, how sweet it is. Sweet baby. We go and we visit live nativity scenes where they bring out the donkeys and the cows and the sheep and the chicken. I don't know what all they use anymore. I mean, I did those back in the day. I got one year, I got to be a king and I thought I was the cat's meow. Because all the years before, I was like a lowly shepherd, or, you know, I was like holding one of the animals or something, you know. But the last year I did it, and I don't know how, I was like 12 years old, right? I got to be a king. But then I found out I had to hold this box that looked like a treasure, and it was heavy. I'm like, why didn't you make this thing out of cardboard? It was like I had to sit there and hold it, and my arms started shaking. Anyways. We think, if we get images in our mind about this day and what it means, and or what we think it means, and things that we think we're supposed to do. And, you know, I'm going to come at it from a little different perspective today. You ready? Because here's what I want. And I prayed it, I believe, earlier. I want the Holy Spirit to give you a revelation of the birth of the Christ. And what it means to you today. So here's the angle I'm going to take today. What if Jesus had never been born? What if the Savior of the world had never been born into this earth? What if? It's a little different. Y'all going to stick with me? For the first time, I believe, in her life, my daughter sat down and watched It's a Wonderful Life with me. Anybody seen that movie? It's a classic, Christmas classic. I hadn't seen it in years. It had been a while, and I saw it. And she was in there with me. I said, you want to watch this movie? She said, it's in black and white. I said, it's all right. I think you'll like it. We sat down and watched it. For those of you who've seen it, I imagine a good majority of you have here. You know, the whole auspices that, you know, George Bailey, this wonderful man in the town, you know, did all these wonderful things and got in a hard place and was in a pickle, and he just thought he would end it all, right? Just end his life. That would, you know, they could get the insurance money and they would be better off. And so, you know, of course, Clarence comes on the scene and takes him around and basically shows him, you know, if he had never been born, what that town would look like, what, you know, friends and family members, where they would be, and, you know, all the things that he did for that town, if it hadn't happened, what it would look like. Bedford Falls would be Pottersville, and, you know. So that's kind of the perspective I want to look at today. What if Jesus had never been born? What would it look like? What if he had never lived? And some of this I've pulled out of different resources. So some of it I'm just going to read. Some of it I'll interject my thoughts. But it says, few today truly understand the world-changing influence the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ has had across history. What would the last two millennia have been like had Jesus not been born? Even skeptics grudgingly acknowledge that Jesus has had a positive effect on history. Even skeptics, even people that don't believe he's the Messiah, Even people that don't believe that, you know, he did the miracles and all that, they still say what a positive effect he's had on history. Without the notions of freedom derived from Christianity, our nation may never have existed. Do y'all understand that? The notions of all the things that Christ taught and how they're interwoven into the fabric of this nation. That's postulated. Had he never existed, maybe this nation would have not been born. Some of the most successful modern companies employ particular virtues based on Paul's first letter to the Corinthian church: faith, hope, and charity. Even business relies on some of the aspects of the teachings of Christ. To be honorable, truthful, have integrity. The impact of Christ is at the very heart of what we love and appreciate about Western civilization. While cultures that began with antichrist assumptions have wreaked havoc on an unimaginable scale. I want to give you some statistics. They're pretty staggering. For example, the Lenin-Stalin regimes of the former Soviet Union and the Mao Zedong regime in China both killed more of their own people, about 84 million, compared to both world wars combined at about 24 million. These are regimes, these are ideals that don't have Christ at the center. In fact, they're against anti-Christ. 84 million lives, souls taken, more than both of the world wars at 24 million. Most cultures throughout history have not considered women to be of equal value to men. In ancient Greek and Roman civilization, women had virtually no rights. With Greek social customs and the Roman institution of patria posteitas, that's probably not how you say it, a woman was a man's property, either her husband's or her father's. In many cases, women weren't permitted to speak in public and were restricted as to when they could leave their homes. Can you imagine that today, women? Huh? I know that won't fly with my wife. In Roman culture, men weren't expected to be faithful to their wives and openly obtain mistresses. In fact, men were permitted to have their wives or daughters executed under some circumstances. Even in the Jewish tradition, the testimony of women was thought to be unreliable, and women whose husbands had died or divorced them were at the mercy of whatever evil intent the men in their communities could devise. Christ radically changed this viewpoint of how women were to be treated. Radically. You remember the woman at the well? The Samaritan woman? He wasn't even supposed to talk to her as a Jewish, of Jewish descent. Let alone be caught at the well at the same time she was there. And even his disciples questioned him. You know, I mean, these are the ones that are, Lord, what are you doing? He radically changed some things. Even Paul taught how we're to love our wife as Christ loved the church and lay down our life for our spouse, for our wife. Marriage came to be viewed as monogamous. Can you imagine if Christ hadn't been born and introduced that teaching? We'd have sister wives everywhere. There'd be no show because it'd be everyday affairs. Just think of it. Though formalized institutions of education had existed since ancient Greece, it was Christians who extended the life-changing value of education to boys and girls of all socioeconomic backgrounds. It was Christians that did that. See, back then it was only the elite that could be educated. You know, even in religion, you know, the priest really and the priesthood could be educated. And well, not even, yeah. We'll move right over that. But it was the Christian value that introduced education for all. For all. Jesus' work heals his people spiritually, but he also tended to their physical needs by healing their diseases and deformities. Looking back, it's hard to imagine now how radical this was, because in the culture of the Romans, and even the Jews of Israel, the sick were cast aside and treated as inferior. The Greco-Roman world did have medical treatment, but only for the elite classes of men or soldiers. And no institutions existed to take care of all sick, regardless of social status, until Christians started them, that is. Care for all those with physical ailments was a uniquely Christian idea, based on the fact that all people have value as image bearers of God. All people have value as image bearers of God. This was radical. These ideas were radical. I'm telling you, you got to understand the times that they were in. These were radical ideas that Jesus introduced, that because he was born into the earth, are things that we take for granted now. This idea of institutions to care for the sick gradually spread throughout the Roman Empire, and in the year 325, the Council of Nicaea proclaimed that every city with a cathedral should also have a hospital, which also served as shelters for the poor. Today we have institutions like the Red Cross and Salvation Army, both began by Christians. Radical idea. And if you know, at that same council meeting, that's when, I believe, if my history is correct, Constantine made Christianity the formal religion of the day. You see, Christ's influence is inescapable. It is inescapable. We see it in our justice system of today. We see it in our vocabulary. We even see it in our calendar. How many know what those two letters AD stand for? Anno Domini. In the year of our Lord. Now I know if you're like I was as a kid, you just said after death. Meaning after the death of Christ. And BC means that, before Christ. It even affects our calendar. You know, how we keep track of the seasons and the times. His birth, the birth of a baby, some 2,000 years ago. How it is relevant to us today is what we're talking about. And what would it look like had he not been born? Above all, though, Jesus completely reshaped our understanding of the value of each human life. The idea that we all bear the image of God and have inherent value is perhaps the most radical idea the world has ever known. Jesus embodied the depths of God's love for creation, showing that God so loved the world that he would send his only Son, and that whoever believes in him would not perish but would have eternal life. Radically changed the view of even God. Right? You remember Paul when he went in to Rome and he saw all the statues, right, of all the different gods that they worshiped back in that day. And he even saw a statue of one God that said the unknown God. And I think it's interesting. And we can take, I mean, this is something that we can take for today. He, instead of going in and saying, oh, you heathens worshiping all these different gods, how dare you? There's only one true God. Now, what did he say? He said, I see that you worship the unknown God. Well, let me tell you who he is. He used even their own society to introduce God to them. But that was the prevalent thought back then. And Jesus, born into the world, changed that, introducing the idea of one true God. The cool thing is, although he was born as a child to his mother Mary some 2,000 years ago, and he died on a cross, he still lives today. He still lives today, and he still is with us because he sent his Spirit to live on the inside of us. Emmanuel. What if it really means what it means? God with us. God inside of us. That is why his birth is still relevant today. Because of his birth and death, he made a way for us to get back in right relationship with God. That relationship that Adam and Eve lost in the garden when he bowed his knee to Satan, disobeying God. See, God being all-knowing knew, he knew from the beginning of time, we just read that in Ephesians, that this would happen, and he put a plan in place. He put a plan in place to redeem mankind from their mistake. And that plan involved the birth of a baby. You see, Adam's sin was not just unto himself. No, his sin affected all mankind. And as one man's sin affected all of mankind, so one man's act of obedience would once again affect all mankind. We find that in Romans. Turn to Romans chapter 5. Verse 14, and this is out of the King James. Says, nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. See, even though we were born some 6,000 years after Adam, the world is still under his sin. But, and we'll get to the but not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one man, if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense, that's Adam's, death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one Jesus Christ. Therefore, verse 18. As by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came unto all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound, that as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by who? Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, who was born in a manger some 2,000 years ago. The first Adam's disobedience separated mankind from God. But the second Adam's, that's Jesus, his obedience brought mankind back to God. But there's a catch. The word says you have to believe by faith that Jesus was born, that he did die, that he was buried and that he did ascend on the third day to heaven. With the first Adam, you weren't given a choice. We all fell under Adam's sin. We didn't have a choice in that. But with the second Adam, you do have a choice. In fact, the entire world has a choice. In fact, everybody you know has a choice. They can choose to receive by faith the birth of the Savior of the world, or they can choose to reject that and be forever lost. By grace through faith you are saved, it says. That is today's relevance of a baby's birth some 2,000 years ago. Because of a child being born, Emmanuel, God with us. God came to be with us once again, and this time we will never be separated. Never be separated. I think some of us get caught up, and I think this season is a picture of that in the world, or at least in this nation for some. We get caught up in this idea that has nothing to do with the day itself. And it's a distraction. We start to think about us, you know, it's all about us, it's all about them. But who is it really about? It's all about the birth of a baby. The birth of the Savior of the world. And think about if he had not been born into this world, the difference that we may be living under. His ideas. Go back and read the Sermon on the Mount. That's not just some sweet lullaby story. That was radical change that he was introducing. Radical change. Sometimes we can just glean over that, reading that, because it's been, you know, taught and shared so much. But go back and read it with fresh eyes. It was a radical change to the world in that day and time. And it was all because of the birth of a baby. Radical. Without the birth of Christ, there's no personal victory for you. And there's no universal victory for mankind. Just think about that. Without the birth of a baby 2,000 years ago, there's no personal victory for you and no universal victory for mankind. Without the birth of a baby some 2,000 years ago, we would all be sentenced to a life in hell. With no chance of getting out. Because as far as I know, no one in here is of Jewish descent. If you don't know, you can pluck your hair and give it to a company and they'll tell you with your DNA and let you know if you might have some Hebraic roots. Roots. Y'all too serious for me, all right? Got to lighten you up a little bit. This is a celebration. We are celebrating a birth. Where was I going with that? I completely got off track. No, really, I have. You're not of Jewish descent? Yes. Because you're not of Jewish descent. You had no covenant with God. I'm talking about if Jesus had not been born. If you were not of Jewish descent, you had no covenant with God. You're a heathen. You're an outcast. You're an outsider. You're cast down. You're a Gentile with no hope. No hope whatsoever of eternal life. But a baby was born. God saw this and He had a plan. And that plan was hidden in God for almost 4,000 years. Now it was spoken of. You can go back throughout the entire Old Testament and you can see Jesus all over the place in there. But it was hidden in God. Their eyes were blinded to it. But then the birth came, announced by angels. The mystery unfolded. And there was a birth of a child. And then the birth of the church. And now, with a choice, we can have eternal life with the Creator and with His Son, whom He sent. Why? All because He loved us. He loved us enough to sacrifice His Son in this earth, to give us a choice so that we could become partakers with the Jewish nation. You see, that wall has been torn down. That wall of partition between a Jewish nation and all others. Before the birth of Jesus, there was no crossing that wall. There was no climbing it. There was no breaking through it. There was no going around it. But with the birth of a baby, that wall came down just like the walls of Jericho. And we're able to walk right over. That's the good news. That is the good news, my friends. Think about what your life would be like had Jesus never been born. Just think about that. Now some of you say, well, my life hadn't gotten any better since I got born again. Well, read the book. That's all I can tell you. Read the book. Get in fellowship with the Creator. Because God is a God that He cannot lie. And it says that Jesus came to give us abundant life. An abundant life here on earth. So if you're not walking in the fullness of that, right? The Bible says, judge yourself. Ask God, what's going on? Your word says this, but here I am. What's happening here? Ask. He'll tell you. He'll point things out. He'll show you things. If you will listen, if you will open your heart to receive, He'll share something and He'll say, look at that. What about that right there? Oh, well, Lord, that's just nothing. That's just a... What about this? What about this unforgiveness you've been harboring all these years? What about that? Well, that's, you know, that was a long time ago. And well, you still have unforgiveness for it. You're not walking in the abundant life? Take a look at yourself. Remember I preached something, I don't know how long ago it's been, the blame game. We want to blame everyone else. We want to blame our parents for how they raised us, or blame our employer that we got fired or let go or whatever. We want to blame the devil. We want to give him all the blame. We don't want to take any responsibility. But just think about where you would be had Jesus never been born into the earth. As a Gentile, you'd be forever lost, headed straight to hell, no chance of avoiding it. But because of God's immense love for you and me, and I mean you today, He sent His beloved Son into the earth to be with us. Emmanuel, God with us. God with us. Isn't that good news? Isn't that good news that you can share? I mean, I want you to think about this. As you go home today, carve out some time between family and grocery getting and present getting, and carve out some time to think about that. Really meditate on what if? What if Jesus had never been born? Where would we be? Mankind? Where would I be? Ask yourself these things. Take some time. Meditate on them. How many are still reading Romans? Stay with it. I'm telling you, that book, you could spend a year chewing on it and get fresh revelation every day. How many read through it so they could check it off their list? At least you're honest, Judy. I love it. Pastor said read through Romans. I'm going to read through it so I can check. I got Christmas coming up. I got things to do. I got to check that off my list. Spend some time in the Word. Sometimes, you know, we understand that concept. But sometimes we just need to be encouraged in it. And sometimes we have to have a starting place. You know, I remember when I got born again, I was a voracious reader. I read and read. But sometimes, if you think about, and look, I'm getting off subject, but somebody needs to hear this. This book looks pretty thick, all right, but you take out the reference stuff in the back, okay? Take out all these things to help you, study aids, and then you consider the Old Testament for another time. Okay? You just kind of put that aside for a little bit. And look how big this book becomes. That's the new covenant. That's the covenant that you have with the eternal God, creator of the universe. How many of you have read books bigger than that? Caleb's reading a book now. That thing is this thick. This thick. And he's read it how many times now? Two or three times he's read that book. He's getting ready for the new one coming out. So he had to go back and read it again. Look at that. Look, we got to put this in perspective. There's not much there. I mean, there's a lot there. Don't get me wrong. But sometimes we got to just take it down to bite-sized pieces. And that's why I encourage you to just read Romans. You know, just start somewhere. You have to be encouraged. I remember when I got born again, I asked somebody, an acquaintance that I knew had been saved for a long time. I said, where do I start? Where do I start reading? And they gave me the most invaluable piece of information. And I share it with everybody. Anybody that asks me, you know, that's newly born again, I say, just read the book of Luke. That's all they said. He didn't say, you know, sit down with your Bible, get in close, you know, go off somewhere for a month and read. He said, just read the book of Luke. Just a starting point. Just read Romans. It's just a starting point. Sometimes we got to be encouraged to just start. Right? Sometimes, for me at least, starting is the hardest part. I am a procrastinator. And I need help. But once I get started, it's all good. What does that have to do with the birth of Jesus? I don't know, but I'm just here to encourage you to look beyond the season that we're in according to the world and look to the reason according to the Spirit. See with your spiritual eyes. And let it be revelation to you, afresh and new. And that is my, I think this is my, if I can say it this way, this is my New Year's resolution. Is to come in here every Sunday and encourage you, to excite you, to stimulate you, to ignite you to want to go deeper with God. To want to go deeper. For yourself. For some of you, when I said to read Romans, I mean, I imagine there's at least one person in here that probably has never even opened that book up. So for me to say that and for that person to open that book up and start to read, that's life changing. Life changing. So anyway, Emmanuel. God with us. A baby is born. The Savior of the world. The one that could bring hope to us. A heathen, Gentile nation that was afar off and never could have gained relationship with God outside of the blood of the sacrifice of that child. So as you go throughout your week, again, I encourage you, meditate on the birth of the Savior. Think about, where would I be had it not been for His birth? Where would I be? Where would I be? As I look out here, I believe I see people, every one of you that have receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. I believe that. But I encourage you, there's an entire world that is lost. And why would you not share this beautiful gift that you have? And during this time of year, I'm telling you, hearts are softened, ready to receive. Ready to receive. And you can be like Paul. You can go in somewhere and use what you see to introduce the gospel. The God of the universe. You don't have to quote scripture. You don't have to do certain things. You can use what's right in front of you and point them to God. You can do it. Do you believe that? Somebody say, I believe.
I believe.
Hallelujah. Well, I believe you'll do it. Because I believe as a church we have to. In this day and age, we have to be the church. Someone say, I am the church.
I am the church.
We are the church in this earth. And we read it right there in Ephesians 3:10. That the intent, that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of. Put that up in the Amplified, will you? Ephesians 3:10 in the Amplified. I think it reads a little bit better than that King James Version. Ephesians 3:10. The purpose is that through the church, through you and me, the purpose is that through you and me, the complicated, many-sided wisdom of God in all its infinite variety and innumerable aspects might now be made known to the angelic rulers and authorities, principalities and powers in the heavenly sphere. Through you and me, we're to make known the manifold wisdom of God. You and me. Amen? Hallelujah. Well, glory to God. Are you encouraged today? I pray, like I said, Father, give us ears to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying today about the birth of your Son, Jesus, and his assignment that he fulfilled in this earth. Give us revelation. Let it become revelation knowledge to us about the birth of the Savior and how God came to be with us again through his birth. And let us share this knowledge as we go throughout our days, throughout our weeks, throughout our years, everywhere that we go. Amen.